Proverbs has an enormous amount to say about both wealth and poverty. In fact, it is a considerable challenge to attempt to summarize its teaching in a relatively short study. But what I propose to do is to note some of the recurring themes, and I'll leave you with some representative proverbs that will give you a handle on the various truths that it teaches. So we're going to begin with wealth in this study and then poverty in the next. And I have three major points that I want to identify in Proverbs' teaching on wealth. Number one, Proverbs presents wealth as a blessing which flows from honoring God. Let me give you some examples of that. Proverbs 3, verse 16. And this is speaking of wisdom, which itself comes from fearing the Lord. We fear the Lord, it makes us wise. And this is what wisdom says of wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Chapter 8:18, again speaking of wisdom, Lady Wisdom. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. In chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, it says of Lady Wisdom, I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. One of the better known proverbs is chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. In chapter 22, verse 4, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Now, this teaching permeates the entire book. And before we address the very obvious problem that this raises for us, let's immediately note that this is not all that Proverbs has to say about how someone can become wealthy. You know, fear the Lord, become wise, get wealth. No, the wicked can be wealthy. And Proverbs acknowledges this. Chapter 10, verse 2. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. Or 11, verse 16. A kind-hearted woman gains respect, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Chapter 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Chapter 21, verse 6. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Now, put those references together, and we're being told this: theft, ruthlessness, dishonesty, and lies can also produce wealth. Chapter 28, verse 6 says, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. Now, that last reference is particularly significant, for Proverbs not only acknowledges that the wicked can be wealthy for a time, but also that the righteous can be poor for a time. And we will look at some further statements when we consider what Proverbs has to say about the relative value of wealth. But here's another representative proverb which acknowledges the existence of the righteous poor in our world. Proverbs 16, verse 8, "Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice." So Proverbs teaches that wealth comes to those who honor the Lord, that is, the wise, the righteous. But the foolish, the wicked, can also acquire wealth, and the wise and the righteous can find themselves among the poor. We must hear all that Proverbs has to say to us. We need to see the full picture that it presents. But it must be acknowledged that Proverbs' emphasis falls on statements that appear to promise prosperity to those who fear the Lord. And this is such an important matter of interpretation that I want to repeat and develop what was said in an earlier study. Proverbs are snapshots of reality which capture generally true principles, but they are not promises. A proverb is not a guarantee, but is a description of what is generally true, all things being equal. We are not meant to absolutize every proverb and insist that it is applicable to every possible situation. The proverbial form is never that sweeping or absolute. It is not intended to be read or understood in that way. And as we have seen, the book of Proverbs itself bears witness to that by its acknowledgement of the existence of the wicked rich and the righteous poor. Proverbs provides a general description of what to expect in life if you go God's way and live according to wisdom. But life is complex, and there will be situations and seasons when this is out of kilter. But the general principle still stands. Living life wisely leads to material prosperity alongside mental, physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual health and well-being. And now I must stress another factor to bear in mind in our interpretation of the book of Proverbs and its treatment of material wealth as a blessing to those who fear the Lord. Remember the context in which Proverbs was written. It is written in the context of the Old Covenant, that is, God's covenant with the nation of Israel, in which he promised to bless that people with bountiful flocks and fields if they walked in obedience to him. Proverbs often presents the picture of the righteous king sitting on his throne, upholding righteousness throughout the realm, and thereby ensuring the right conditions for the righteous to prosper. Now, we know from other books in the Old Testament that this ideal situation was often not the case. And then, of course, when we come to the New Testament, to the New Covenant, things become much more messy and complicated for the righteous. The expectation now is one of hostility and ill treatment in this world. And the prospect of prosperity and reward for righteousness is relocated to the other side of resurrection in a newly reordered world. The riches of the righteous in this present age are overwhelmingly spiritual in nature. So just to summarize what I am saying about the book of Proverbs teaching on material wealth coming to the righteous, we must be careful to hear all that the book says. The wicked can be wealthy and the righteous can be poor. We must not absolutize every proverb and push it beyond its intended meaning. It carries the emphasis of the Old Covenant. Remember the context in which it was written, in which God had given national promises to Israel of material prosperity as a reward for obedience to his commands. We find ourselves as New Testament Christians living at a different time in salvation history and operating under a different covenant. But even having noted that, it is still often the case that those who live wisely, fearing the Lord, discover that they prosper materially in the blessing of God. So that's the first point, and it's a major point. Proverbs presents wealth as a blessing which flows from honoring God. Secondly, Proverbs insists upon the relative value of wealth. Wealth brings certain comforts and advantages. And Proverbs acknowledges what we all know to be true in that regard. If wealth is a blessing from the Lord, then it's obviously a good thing. But we must not overestimate the value of material wealth. Wisdom is more valuable than wealth. Indeed, as we have seen already, wisdom bestows wealth. We must be careful to pursue wisdom and not wealth. Proverbs 3, 13 to 15. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Chapter 8, verse 19. Again, Wisdom is speaking. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. Chapter 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? Material wealth is often employed in the better than proverbs, which show the relative value of two things. Wealth is used as the foil to set off the thing that is of true value. Chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. Chapter 16, verse 19. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Chapter 17, verse 1. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting and strife. Chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You see, there are much more valuable things in life than valuables, than material wealth. Wealth can build a house, but not a home. It can put fine food on the table, but not sweet fellowship around it. It can give a woman fur and jewelry, but not the love and the beauty she really wants. At least that's what I'm going with Michelle. Those who fear the Lord may receive the blessing of material wealth, but they understand that their true riches lie beyond the tangible things, in the things that money cannot buy. So Proverbs teaches both the blessing of wealth, but also its limitations. It is only of relative value. And when it comes to the ultimate test of what matters, it is completely useless. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus, don't we? Mark 8, 36 and 37. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So Proverbs teaches that wealth is a blessing that comes from God, but it teaches that wealth is of only relative value. Thirdly, Proverbs teaches that material wealth carries spiritual dangers. And again, we must see the fuller perspective of the book of Proverbs, which can describe material wealth as a blessing from the Lord. You see, it acknowledges as well that riches can affect the psychology, the thinking of the person who possesses them in very negative ways. Chapter 11, verse 28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We hear people quoting that. Let's quote the next bit. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. You see where they find their security. Chapter 28, verse 11. A rich man may be wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has discernment sees through him. The book of Proverbs is in agreement with the rest of Scripture in viewing wealth as a potential snare for those who possess it. It can breed an arrogant, false sense of security, and it can result in misplaced confidence. Our hearts can cling to possessions for security and significance. An abundance of material riches all too commonly dulls the sinner's sense of need. A rich sinner is every bit as needy as a poor sinner before a holy God. So Proverbs teaches that riches can be risky. And Proverbs not only warns of the dangers of wealth to those who possess it, but also warns those who would chase it and make it their goal in life. It will burn them up and ultimately disappoint. Chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast a glance at riches, and they're gone. For surely they will sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. What a word to the young professional, to the businessman, to the career woman. Be careful what you give your life to, what you use your life for. And surely Agur's double request of the Lord rings true in our hearts. For we know what too much wealth could do to us. And note when you hear what Agur says, note his similar distrust he has of himself should he experience poverty. This is what Agur says in chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Number one, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Number two, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Are we not reminded of the teaching of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, And as we draw this study on Proverbs' teaching on material wealth, let's listen to the apostle. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I dare suggest that when the full story of church history is told, the love of money will have put more Christians to the stake than 1,000 Neros. Wealth is a blessing which comes from honouring God. But wealth is only of relative value, and wealth carries very real spiritual dangers. That, I suggest, is a bit of an overview and a summary of what the book of Proverbs has to say on the subject of material wealth.